Okay. List channeling is basically the ability to open yourself as a receiver of information as well as a transmitter, very similar to the way crystals work, more so quartz crystals, and receiving information either from your higher self or a higher intelligence and being able to impart that information either in trance, which is what I do, or consciously, which I believe just about everybody does in some or other way. I believe creative inspiration is a form of receiving information that could be channeled from the higher self or an entity of higher wisdom for a specific purpose. I believe that not everybody has the ability to trance voice channel, because we've also got to look at what a person's contract is in this lifetime. And based on astrology charts that I've had done and numerology charts, my contract in this lifetime is trance voice channeling. So not everybody has the same contract, but people can channel the most incredible creative energy that can bring healing to people's lives. I believe musicians, fine artists, I mean, all levels of creativity are an aspect of channeling. And it's not limited to the creative arts. It can go into the healing of people with disease. It can be an incredible mother that has the most awesome relationship with her children. It could be a businessman who has the most awesome knack of dealing with his staff in such a graceful and respectful way that he brings out the very best in them, or she brings out the very best in them. So channeling is, I believe it to be a very wide area of taking energy or receiving energy and information from the universe and using it to its best and fullest potential.
Well, all of the recent research into the zero-point field, quantum physics, and investigating the concept of non-locality would then relate very, very closely to what you're describing, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. It would, yes.
Basically, both coming from a point that there is no separation, you know, the metaphysicians, like yourself, stating that, you know, that you can access that information even if it's not right here inside you, or actually it is inside you, but that idea of non-local information available to all of us. And the atheists are saying the same thing, that separation is an illusion. And that's the theme of this show. So would you speak about that?
With pleasure. You know, it's very interesting that you have that question, Liz, because just this week, in fact, I think it was Wednesday, I had the most incredible experience where sitting in a very sort of sacred space of stillness within myself, I touched on that bliss point. I mean, that's one of the things you can call it. And I felt the most incredible peace and bliss. In that moment, I knew that is what I've been looking for my whole life. And everything I've done up until this point has been just to experience this, and this is what I want to experience for the rest of my life. But the most awesome thing that came of that was, in that moment, I felt that connectedness to everything. You know, you hear it so many times. We are all one. You are connected to everything. Everything is a part of you. And Liz, until you felt it, it's very, very difficult to actually understand, because you can understand it intellectually, but unless you've actually felt it, you can never experience its full meaning. And in that moment of realization or actual feeling of being connected to absolutely everything, I also realized that absolutely everything around me is just expressing me. So whatever my consciousness is, my attitude, my belief systems, everything around me is going to express that straight back to me, because it's a part of me and it cannot be any other way. And I feel that is how we create our reality, based on what we believe, how we feel, what we choose to invest our energy in, then determines what everything around us feeds back to us, because all it is doing is simply expressing what we are, because it is us.
Some of the messages that you've brought through have been incredibly empowering and enlightening. Some of the is also contain information on how to actually work with the prevailing energies of the time. And also, there are patients, advice, and generally initiations, basically, into the process of empowering people to give life to the belief that more than they ever thought possible about what they're able to achieve is possible. How does it feel for you to bring messages of this importance through to the planet?
You know, Liz, I've been asked that question so many times, and you know, I think there's the impact of what I'm doing hasn't really sunk home. And even though it's been 10 years since I started doing this professionally, I understand the absolute amazing thing that I'm doing, and I see how it's changing people's lives and how awesome it is. And I am extremely humbled to be doing it. But to be really honest with you, Liz, the full impact of what I'm doing hasn't completely sunk in. So I'm still very, very much a part of, you know, living life every day, four children, running a business, friends, family. I'm a very down-to-earth person. So in that sense, it's, yeah, I can do it. It's wonderful. It's what Spirit has blessed me with. But sure, I don't know more than that. So, yeah, it's odd. It's strange. But I think maybe that's what keeps me grounded, because that's one of the intentions I've always held, is that whatever I'm doing to serve Spirit always keeps me grounded and, you know, it doesn't go to my head and become, you know, a whole glamour, ego trip kind of thing. So,
tell me when it was that you were awakened to the knowledge that this was going to be your life's mission?
Liz, I caught a glimpse of it in my mid-teens, but I didn't understand it at all. And it was quite evident as I moved into my late teens and early 20s, where people of all walks of life and much, much older than me would gravitate towards me and start pouring out their heart to me. And I would come back with information which I thought, oh my goodness, where did that come from? I mean, my life was a mess, to put it mildly. And I couldn't understand how these people were coming to me who was going through so much trauma and so much abuse, and I was coming up with this information, giving it to them, but I could not apply it in my own life as yet. So it was very confusing. I was in an extremely abusive marriage, all levels of abuse that you can think of, and it was a very disempowering 9 years of my life. However, about 3 years before I actually left the marriage permanently, I came across a very, very empowering book written by Louise L. Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And that book really turned a page for me.
It's turned a page for a lot of people, hasn't it? It was actually,
it's been amazing.
Yeah, it was one of the very first books I read as a teenager when I started looking into this field.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't even know if Louise L. Hay actually realizes how many people's lives she literally saved with that book, because I believe had I stayed in that relationship, I probably wouldn't be here physically now. You know, it was just it would have gone really from bad to worse, and the violence was quite shocking. So when I eventually got to the level of self-empowerment and inner belief, that, you know, sufficient to actually empower me to get out of the relationship, that was when my life changed. I mean, I went through 18 months of absolute harassment and torture from him after I divorced him, because he just actually couldn't believe that I'd done it. But there was a power driving me that I cannot explain to anybody until this day, that there was absolutely no way I was going back. It was a force pushing me. It was like pushing me into my life and into my future, and nothing was going to hold me back. And I took my only child at that time with me. He was 8 when I left his father. And there and then I made the decision that I was never going to create this again, and I wanted to heal my life. And I started doing some very in-depth processes with a metaphysical therapist. And in those processes, I met a consciously met Katumi for the first time.
Can I just interrupt you there? What do you mean by consciously met?
I felt him consciously. There was the conscious connection. It wasn't a case of just, you know, getting information, not knowing where it's coming from, carrying on with life, not having that spirit connection. So in the sessions, it was I actually, for the first time, consciously experienced that higher intelligence presence, if I can call it that. And that presence was called Katumi, as I have got to know him. It was that feeling of a presence so full of love, and a presence that I could feel so safe in to actually continue on my path of healing. And the realization that this is the presence that has been with me for as long as I could remember, the presence that I had felt before but didn't understand or didn't recognize. So it was quite awesome in that sense, because then I decided that I wanted to explore my relationship with spirit, the overwhelming desire just to serve God. I mean, I remember waking up in the mornings and saying, "Here, God, I'm your instrument. Do whatever you need to do with me to wake people up and to bring light to the planet." I didn't realize what I was asking for, but I did. And, you know, being an instrument is not always, you know, to bring light to that is not always fun, because then you find yourself in positions as a catalyst. And if you don't understand what that entails, it can be quite disheartening and disillusioning and heartbreaking. So I really had to learn about what I was asking for and what it meant to create a relationship with spirit. And, you know, saying, please, you know, I want peace in my life. All I want to do is serve God, and I want to be this amazing this, that, and the next thing. Also not realizing at that point that because I've asked that, I had to look at everything in my life that was causing disharmony, that was preventing me from having the peace and being a clear vessel for God to work through. So that became intense as well. And oh my goodness, my pawpaw hit the fan a couple of times, and you thought, oh my God, what's going on? This can't be it. You know, it's supposed to be this wonderful path of bliss and joy and happiness, and nothing ever goes wrong and everything's just perfect. Whereas it was the complete opposite, because you've got to look at the chaos in order to manifest the peace. And then it doesn't matter what chaos is going on, because you're at peace. And the other thing is, when you're at peace, then no longer do you create the chaos around you. So, Jesus. It was quite something. And still today, 10 years down the line, I still put my hands in my head in my face and think to myself, I mean my hands on my face and think, oh my goodness, this is a big fat cosmic joke. The universe is laughing at me.
Welcome once again to Radio Otherwhere. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Liz Miller, and I'm your recently Arcturian-assisted DNA-activated host. Regular listeners will remember a few weeks back I had Janosch on the show to give us the lowdown on what to expect from his Keys to the Arcturians Australia tour, which landed here in Melbourne this week, and it was so much better than I could have imagined. But I suppose that's what you get when you see art from another dimension. If you haven't yet get checked out Janosch's sacred art, Crop Circle Holograms, at the-arcturians.com website, then do yourself a favour and go. Then imagine yourself sitting in a darkened theatre, watching these images projected onto a screen 30 feet high, listening to the sound of Giotto monks chanting Om, filling your ears and all the spaces inside your body. We'll be having Janosch back next week, so make sure you tune in for that. This week on the show, we're going to take a look at the potential in our world for more enlightened reporting in our media. It's going on in the underground, but what about the mainstream? It looks like it really might be happening. We'll be joined for the first and last portions of this week's show by the creator of the Want to Know and Web of Love websites, returning guest Fred Bergs. The galactic angel filling in the Otherwhere Episode 9 sandwich is our second guest, Ananara Zolta, an angelic light and sound facilitator. She is a singer of the Songlines who travels worldwide to activate new world teachers and conducts sound transference healing with groups as she tours with Carolyn Bentley with a play shop called The Land of One. You'll have a chance to find out more about her work and listen to Ananara's voice and hear the divine, almost holographic tones she produces when she joins us later in the show. And if you're a first-time listener, the Otherwhere Radio archives have all been posted on the bbsradio.com website, so please check out some of the past shows, as in the short time that this show has been on the digital internet airwaves, we've had some incredible former guests who've given us their time and shared remarkable things. All you need to do is click on the archives page link from the bbsradio.com homepage and then click on Otherwhere. As many of you know, I believe strongly in the power of holding collective intentions for the positive changes we'd like to see in the world, and as it involves using sound, this next item fits in perfectly with this week's theme. I have an announcement from Sandy Stevenson at lightascension.com about an important planetary initiation taking place 12 midday on the 11th of April this year. We're being asked to join together to generate a collective sound emanation of Ah Om at 12 noon in all time zones. She says that this collective sound from us will be dramatically amplified by profoundly powerful cosmic beings. Together, this action will serve to permanently seal the planetary crown chakra into a higher octave of light and thus further accelerate the ascension process. So if you'd like to participate, and I do encourage you to, you can do this anywhere in a group or on your own, and just breathe and then sound Om, giving equal time to both parts of the sound. And just repeat and keep it going for at least 3 minutes, but longer if you can. And know that I'll be adding my own holographic interpretations to the mix as well. If you'd like to know more, check out www.lightascension.com. And as usual, my guests are much too interesting this week for the usual roundup of news, so let's get straight into the show. Here's a little something from the extremely talented New York DJ and producer, Kerry Chandler. Out now on King Street Sounds, it's the original mix of So Let the Wind Come. And when Otherwhere returns, we'll say hello once again to the inspirational Fred Bergs. Burks is a former language interpreter for Presidents Bush and Clinton and creator of the Want to Know, Moment of Love and Web of Love websites. And he's returning to Otherwhere this week to discuss something we'd all like a little more of, a more enlightened media. In the wake of CNN's recent reporting of Charlie Sheen's and Alex Jones's comments regarding 9/11 and the overwhelming support from the public that came in during the polls later, Otherwhere will be looking into what is driving the positive transformations going on within the mainstream media and whether this is just the beginning of a global trend that will see more honest reporting of the facts or whether the silencing will just continue. So, Fred Burks, welcome to Otherwhere. It's wonderful to have you back.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Thank you. So, Fred, I know that you have a bit of an insider look into this whole story with CNN and 9/11 and the public response, because you've been working in this field for quite some time with the wanttoknow.info website.
Yes, I have.
Tell me, first of all, how you perceive what's going on generally in the mainstream media at the moment regarding 9/11.
Well, I think it's very exciting. It's basically what we've known was going to happen, and it's just been a matter of time. There's quite a few people who are very passionate about 9/11 and see it as the means to awaken the public to some of the deeper, disturbing things that are going on behind the scenes. And so we've been working to reach a critical mass among the public, which would basically force the mass media to start reporting. And we feel that we're getting close to that critical mass now. And the CNN coverage, which was awesome, as you probably know, it was over 10 minutes, three nights in a row, is a first step in that direction.
That's right. It really was the first time that a mainstream news outlet had tackled the 9/11 subject with any degree of questioning what the official storyline is, isn't it?
Right. Yes, there's been a few articles that have come out that basically, some of them bashing, you know, the movement, some of them being relatively balanced but presenting both sides. But A.J. Hammer, and thanks, A.J., was really clearly biased to the fact that there's a cover-up going on. And so it's the first time we've really seen that, and we saw it 3 days in a row. I think it was Monday through Friday, and then the following Monday he even had Sharon Stone on, who, of course, is a very well-known actress. And she was saying, I very much support Charlie Sheen and what he's doing. Seems like they've been shut down since then. I don't know how much you know about what happened with Ed Asner.
I remember you actually forwarding me some information telling me that he was going to come out in public as well and support Charlie Sheen's comments, and then at the last moment it was cut. Can you go into that a little bit and tell us what happened exactly?
Sure. Basically, a good friend of mine is another great connector. He has connections all over, and he was able to get in touch with the producer of the CNN program. And so we found out from various sources what happened, but Barry Zwicker of CBC Canada, Zwicker and myself both emailed Ed Asner to try to encourage him to come out and talk about this. He's been out for a couple years saying that 9/11 was a cover-up. So basically, we heard back through his secretary that he was going to be on, I believe it was on Tuesday a week ago, and she was very excited about that. But then we got an email about 3 hours before showtime, and she said, well, they apparently, and I think this is what happened, basically they had gotten a 9/11 commissioner because they felt like they had to have some balance in the story, and I think that totally makes sense. So they had one of the 9/11 commissioners was going to go on, and then Ed Asner and another guy, I'm blanking on his name right now, who's written a great 9/11 book, were all going to go on together on that Tuesday. But then the 9/11 commissioner pulled out at the last minute. which if you think about it, is a pretty clever maneuver, because once you pulled out, they find anybody else to balance, and then give an excuse for the higher-ups to say, no, we're not going forward. And since then, they have not, again, covered the issue, even though we have other people who would be happy to talk with them.
And the response from the viewers was just incredible, wasn't it? I think it was something like 85% on the night agreed with Charlie Sheen's comments.
Well, now, you have to take that with a grain of salt, because what happened was the first time he did it, it was during the show, and it came out something like 67% saying we believe there's a cover-up and 33% saying no. That was actually done during the show, so that is a relatively representative sampling of those listening to the show. But as soon as that happened, of course, emails went out everywhere. I received dozens of emails saying, go vote on this CNN poll. I sent it out to my list. Go vote on the CNN poll. So all of the people who are so passionate about 9/11 basically skewed those polls so that it came out, I think it was 84% at the end. But that's not really a representative poll.
Well, it doesn't really matter in the end, because the 67% that, you know, is pretty representative is still a huge majority.
Yes, it is. I was quite surprised that it was that high.
Yeah. So you think I should be getting excited then? There is a sea change occurring from behind the tightly closed doors of high-ranking media execs?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, I think it's really important for people to understand that this is not a monolith we're looking at, that the mass media is a huge, complex bureaucracy. And yes, the people at the top have a lot of power, but just like the people at the top would like us to believe that we as individuals don't have power, the truth is we know that we all do. And in fact, it's the mass consciousness that determines what happens at the higher levels. And so that's why my interest has always been in reaching out to, you know, influence the mass consciousness so that it can be ready to push, so that the media will then start reflecting our own beliefs on a collective level.
Well, let's talk about the work that you're doing with the websites and the wanttoknow.info lists, because I know that you have a pretty sizable group of people that you send out your emails to, and these emails are fantastic because in them you take verbatim quotes from mainstream news articles discussing some of these subjects that we're talking about today, and some of the cover-ups that go on, some of the underreported news, some of the completely ignored news. And I'd love to find out what your motivation has been for getting that side of your life happening in this way.
Well, I have to say at first that my deepest passion is really about transformation. One of my main sayings in my life is I'm deeply committed to personal and global transformation through love and empowerment. And if it weren't for all this kind of craziness going on, that's where I'd be focusing my energy. But what I'm seeing, where I'm feeling called right now, is to help people to wake up to the darkness that's going on. There is a lot of kind of darkness and craziness, and I believe that what's happening in the external world is a reflection of what's happening in our, each of our inner worlds. That there are parts of us that we're afraid to look at certain parts of ourselves. And as long as we're afraid to look at those, then those parts can actually grow and cause problems. And then on the external level, out in the world, it's the same thing. As long as we're not willing to look at what's really happening behind the scenes, well, then that allows the players who are going after their own self-interest, and maybe not in the interest of all of us, to have more power and play. So the reason that I do the Want to Know That Info work is to encourage people to wake up and do our own, both our own personal work on opening to the side of ourselves, but then also working to open to what is happening, to the disturbing things that are happening out in the world, and realizing that we can change it, and we will change it. I have no doubt.
I have no doubt as well, and I agree with you. It is a movement that a lot of people have known has to happen, and a change that's coming that has to happen. And it's a really wonderful time to be alive to finally see these things eventuate, because for me personally, I really wasn't sure whether I would see such profound changes beginning to take place at this time. I thought we might have to wait a few more years, but it's really wonderful to see it happening now. And I think that these changes, these transformations that are occurring in our society, in our media, are happening because we are working on an individual level with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is creating an energy around the world. You know, as each one of us transforms in our own ways, as we become more in touch with who we are and how we fit into the grand scheme of things, then that affects everything else. That affects the whole world. And I'm hoping that perhaps some of the people in the hierarchy at CNN are some of those people who've been doing the inner work, who are actually realizing that they can't continue to cover things up, that they need to stand a little more fully in their own truth.
That's right.
It's just wonderful to see this happening now, because this means that the floodgates are going to open for the rest of the world's media to perhaps follow suit and do a little bit more honest reporting. I mean, I know that it's been going on in other parts of the world. There's a lot more honest reporting, say, in England than there is in America about, say, 9/11. However, there is still a lot more work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to say that there, I know that there are individual reporters in various media are waking up as well. A funny little story is, you know, I had this whole court trial where I went to Indonesia because of a secret meeting I had been involved in as an interpreter for the president, and that ended up being on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Well, the two reporters who wrote that article about me in the Wall Street Journal, I found out have become supporters of my work. And in fact, one of them contacted me and said he was going to be in the area and was interested in getting together. And then he started saying, well, he was coming out to cover the whole privacy issue, you know, how they're starting to spy on all sorts of Americans. And he asked me if I had any information. Well, I have tons of information. I have one guy who has a 150-page dossier on him for doing peace work. And so I sent him all this information, and I think it was just too much for him. You know, he ended up not getting together. You know, he still supports what I'm doing, but basically he's not ready to expose that much all at once. And he's also thinking probably the public is not ready to have that much all at once. But at the same time, he's supportive of the work that I'm doing. So you can see how it's complex, and each individual makes a difference in the bigger picture.
And that's a really important point to make, because it is about us as individuals making the changes in our own worlds, in our inner lives, and then taking those transformations, as I said earlier, out into the world and creating a new paradigm.
Yes.
And it'll be wonderful, won't it, to see the power of the media being transformed into a vehicle that's really there to serve the highest good of humankind.
Yeah, and I think we may see a whole transformation there as the emphasis shifts away from the major media more to the alternate media. We're already seeing some websites now that have actually become more popular than some of the major media. So though the major media will be shifting, there's a whole shifting infrastructure that is going on, and it's becoming much more egalitarian in a way.
Oh, and it's definitely been brought on by the advent of the internet. It's given us a whole, you know, a whole new dimension to kind of live in. And BBS radio is a perfect example of what we're talking about. It's a small pocket of individuals who've created a network who are fighting against the old, outdated ways of being and expressing ourselves, especially in terms of the media.
If I could just throw in one thing here, I really like to avoid the term fighting against anything, but rather would say we're expanding beyond the old ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're fighting against something, I think you actually end up strengthening it. The war on terror is an obvious thing. The war on drugs. Actually, if you look at the statistics, drugs have exploded since the war on drugs started.
It's so true.
So I'm just inviting, you know, all of the listeners to think about when we're fighting against something, what are we doing? We're creating dissonance. Expand beyond something and create transformation, that's a whole different ballgame.
And so when we have a more enlightened media, how do you think that that will affect our world?
Oh, I think it will be huge. I think what we're seeing is that in the past, we all had a tendency to look outside ourselves for the source of truth, to look to the media, to look to the government, to look to our religions. And what we're finding is as the media is transforming, and I think it's coming back to as our own mass consciousness is transforming, we're beginning to see that each of us has our own kernel of the truth to share with others. And everyone we meet has something to share with us. So I think the transformation is going to be from a more hierarchical structure to a more egalitarian structure as each of us realizes just how much of a difference we make in our own personal lives and even in the world as a whole.
And that is certainly consistent with the energies of the Age of Aquarius, which we're now moving fully into. And so we can look forward to a dismantling, perhaps, of the pyramidal structure of our society, where the people who are at the top know and can see everything that's going on below them, but the people right down the bottom can't see the forest for the trees.
I had not thought of it that way, but that's a very good point.
And perhaps we'll all be on more equal footing now. And I can't express how excited I am, actually, because
that's great.
For many years, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's listening to this right now, who's had numerous channeled messages slip in and out of their inbox that are all stating very similar things. That is that we're, you know, getting to a point, or we have reached a point of critical mass, that things are really changing, that we're going to start to see some incredibly positive changes in our world. And, you know, the time frame that I give those types of messages is usually when they say, oh, it's happening soon. I kind of think, let's give it about 7 years. And it is happening. Three years ago, I was thinking, okay, let's give it 7 years. But it hasn't taken 7 years. It's a good sign. And I really hope that it will continue. And I just want to emphasize, and that's why I wanted you to be on the show this week, is to just encourage everybody out there, in whatever way that they can, to stand in their own truth.
Yeah, it's when each one of us does what we feel called to do and lets go of the fears of what will happen when we stand up and have a voice, that we're really going to start transforming and sending waves around this planet, waves of invitation to transform into something greater than we already are.
That's so right. And we all know, I think, enough about quantum physics by now to be able to say what I'm doing with my thoughts and my intentions is actually having a really palpable material effect on our world, and to really trust that.
Yes. Yeah, and as you know, getting clear on what our intentions are is a key also. For me, it's my beacon in my life, just knowing so clearly my own deepest intention, always what's best for all beings. And I always ask for divine guidance towards that. And that has led me into so many wonderful, magical places.
So, Fred, if people would like to know more about your work and perhaps subscribe to one of your email lists, what are the website addresses that they can go to?
Okay, the most popular website that I manage is www.wanttoknow.info. And we get about 3,000 to 4,000 visits every day to that website. And if you click on the subscribe button on any page of wanttoknow.info, that'll subscribe you to an email list where you'll receive an email on average every 3 or 4 days with lots of empowering information.
Yes, I remembered on one of the last wanttoknow.info emails, you sent out the link, and I gave it out on the show a couple of weeks ago for feedback to CNN to just show your support for the Charlie Sheen story. Were you able to find out at all how successful that campaign was?
It was very successful. I don't know if you listened to the show at all, but A.J. Hammer said, we've been overwhelmed with emails. He literally used those words, overwhelming support for this story.
Well, that's great.
So I want to thank all of your readers, our listeners, who took the time to send a message for doing that as well.
Yeah, I want to thank them as well, because it is really important that we're heard. And just spending 5 minutes writing an email can make a huge difference in the mind of somebody in one of those media outlets that we've been talking about, and perhaps change their minds about keeping something quiet.
Absolutely. Another website is the Web of Love, weboflove.org. that's O-R-G, and we have a separate subscribers list there, although if you're on the Once Know That list, you automatically get all of the Web of Love emails. And the Web of Love is much more focused on love and empowerment and transformation through opening our hearts to our interconnection with all beings. And then there's the momentoflove.org, and that's basically for our friends who are not so open to spirituality. It's really designed to appeal to almost anybody that has any interest in opening their hearts. So those are the three main websites I manage, and I highly encourage people to sign up on one of the email lists. And we can do many things together by communicating on these email lists. We sometimes have campaigns. For instance, we're going to try to influence Oprah to start covering the 9/11 movement, and I'll be having some information going out on that to our list. Basically, I am in touch with a lot of the leaders of the 9/11 movement, so the sort of the shakers and the movers, and I don't remember who, but one of them came up with the idea of let's really do a whole email campaign to try to influence Oprah first to become educated on what's really going on 9/11. We know she must know something. And then to have a program where she would invite people on, both pro and con, to bring it into the awareness, because Oprah is certainly a very powerful influence in this world right now.
Do you really think that she'll go down that road?
I think it's entirely possible, and I think it's if we get a lot of people sending in emails, and the emails are not angry, because there are people in the 9/11 movement who write with a lot of anger, and that does not serve anything. But if the emails are written as an invitation, you know, please, we'd love you to do this, and if you want to know more, here's where you can find some excellent information. So invite people to write from a place of heart, inviting her to open and educate herself if she doesn't know about this, what's going on, and then to have people on her show. I definitely think it's a possibility.
Would you mind sharing one of your stories, Fred, with us before I let you go?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, thanks to the websites, I have wonderful, amazing people contacting me all the time. Just had several reporters lately contacting me, and one guy who it looks like he was in the Navy SEALs, and he was doing secret government research all about opening up to spirituality. And see, this is the funny thing. A lot of people are really amazed. I've known for a while that those who want to become all-powerful are doing everything they can to find out how do you get power scientifically and how do you, you know, gain control over people. And what they're finding is it's a spiritual problem. If you want to be really powerful, you have to get really spiritual. But, of course, what happens when you start getting spiritual? Well, you start changing, and you start caring less about power. So in some of those deepest, darkest black projects, they're actually discovering, oh, my God, we have to start getting spiritual. And just think about what that does to sort of the base of some of what's happening. It means at the base, people are starting to shift and change and open. And this is stuff that most people don't even know about, but I'm privileged to have some sort of insiders who let me know. So I can just tell you that on all these different levels, there's really exciting things going on, and we're all opening up and shifting together.
Is there any examples you can give us of people who have been able to stand in their own light and truth and experience amazing breakthroughs or transformations as a result?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm involved with several communities here in the San Francisco Bay Area, and most of them have been going on for several years. And what I'm seeing is people who have a lot of difficulties and problems in their lives. Like I'm thinking of one particular friend right now. When he came into our community, very kind of closed down, nervous. He trusted me. He'd come and tell me how afraid he was of certain things happening. And the longer he stayed, you know, he saw how the community desire was really to support each other and become a more loving, expanded community. And as the years went by, we now see this guy just almost becoming more playful and open and joyful, just as he learns to trust himself and trust other people. So to me, just watching one person transform through having a supportive community like that is just a joy, and it tickles my heart to now meet this person and sometimes talk to them. Remember what you were like when you came in here? So, and I have so many people like that I see shifting and changing, and it's just so exciting.
It's very inspiring, and so are you. Thank you so much, Fred Burks, for spending some time with us this week on Otherwhere. Fred will be back at the end of the show, as we're going to be taking you through a guided relaxation session as we journey into the web of love once again and connect with all of the Otherwhere listeners and create the Otherwhere Circle of Lights. So thanks, Fred. We'll be back very soon. Good luck, and we'll hear from you again.
Ananda Project and Straight Magic on KingStreetSounds.com, proud supporters of Otherwhere. They're the oldest and most respected house music label in the world, celebrating 13 years of putting out some of the best releases out there. And they've got one of the best websites in the world too, and were one of the first labels with enough foresight to make their releases available digitally for pennies. Have a look and tell me it's not one of the best you've ever seen at www.kingstreetsounds.com. And next week's show is going to be great. New York diva Joy Cardwell will be joining us to talk about the deeper side of Joy, her faith, her music, and her success. She's released over 20 records in her career, including 4 number ones, 3 top threes, and several top tens in the Billboard Club Play charts. And regular listeners will have heard me playing her brand new single, What It Feels Like, with Quentin Harris on the show the last couple of weeks. And she'll be appearing on Otherwhere on the eve of its release. And after that, we'll get Janosch into the Otherwhere studio for a proper chinwag about the keys to the Arcturians. You're tuned into Otherwhere, and my name is Liz Miller. Ananara Zolta is an angelic sound and light facilitator. She's a singer of the song lines, and through her communion with God Goddess, Metatron, the Ascended Masters, the Hathors, the Elohim, the Sound Angels, and the Higher Realms, is here to assist in opening the Gateway's home for all. She brings forth the Magdalene Codes of Love, Truth, and Resurrection of the One Heart and the One Voice. Ananara conducts sound transference for groups in communion with the feminine rays of completion through the sacred and divine agreement of Mary Magdalene, Isis, and the Divine Mother, and is soon embarking on a world tour with a play shop called The Land of One with Carolyn Bentley. Ananara, welcome to the show. Please tell us how this all started.
It all started in Byron Bay. Before that, through a story, I was about to leave the planet. I didn't want to be here any longer because how I was living my life was not making me happy. So I ended up in St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. And from there, I thought it has to get better. And so, for whatever reason, I was asked to go to Byron Bay. It was just like these loudspeakers in my thoughts, go to Byron Bay. I had never been to Byron Bay. So I just hop on a train and went to Byron Bay. For 6 months, I cleaned the toilets of a hostel. And these people would come into my life and say, oh, this is going to happen. And I didn't understand because I was an atheist. I didn't believe in the spiritual. I didn't know. So things started happening, and then one day this lady came into my house where I was staying, and there was a candle burning, and she said, come and join this healing. It's going to start in 2 days' time. I didn't know the person, but it was something in my heart. I had to be there. I didn't have the money. I couldn't get there because it was an hour away, and I didn't have a car. And I just rang this lady up and she said, I knew you were coming 12 months ago. So here's this atheist who had no self-confidence, no self-worth, sitting in this yurt in Rosebank, that's an hour from Byron Bay in Australia, and sitting with these five other people that had been little spiritual gurus and all in their white, and here am I in my black, and I thought, oh, I've got to leave. I felt very out of place, had no self-confidence, sat in the back. The ascended beings, the ascended masters, there's many names, we won't go into them, but the ascended realms, the higher energy used to come through the facilitator of this group, from which I was a part of. So they're sitting there before you. And so they started, for instance, they'd go, now translate for us. Now I'm atheist, new to this. And I'm thinking, you're crazy. You know, I didn't understand. I wanted to run. I started getting headaches. I thought it was... But what happens is they are masters. So they sit there like Buddha. They're not going away. So I'd cry. I'd do a tantrum. But I had to sit in that circle and I had to go through it. And so when you let go, it was like the English words came in the translation of this language of light. The language of light, for anyone that's not aware, is the many languages of ancient, of star cultures, of the inner earth, of the middle earth. It's Aramaic, it's Hebrew, it's all many, many. And it's your God presence, the highest aspect of who you are. It's your truth. Everyone can speak it, but they've forgotten for whatever reason. It comes through me. Like everybody has their gifts, I have a gift with this. And so then, now this is a person that was always told all their lives that they had a rotten voice. They couldn't sing. So you take on the thoughts of your family, all those around you, whoever it is. You take on the beliefs of others. That is not truth. So the masters sat and they said, now we'd like you to sing for us. Now I was a person that would not sing. So they said, do what you do. And the only thing I could think of was I used to do this gremlins thing with the animals. So I put my hands over my eyes. I was so embarrassed and I started to sing. When I looked up, everybody in the room was crying. So what happens in the yurt is they push you to the edge of the mountain, but they know you can fly, but you don't know you have them until someone comes and offers you to see the truth of who you are. And that was shown to me since then, and for 6 months after, I was a sound healer. I still wouldn't use the voice. I'd go, and someone would go, oh, and that's beautiful. So I, you know, so it's a confidence thing. It's a letting go. And now I sing in front of hundreds with no worries at all. And that's because I've come to a place where I honor what I do. And I know I'm a vehicle for the higher force in which all of us are.
When you do open your mouth and you do make these incredible sounds, they are profoundly transformative for the people who are around you. What is it like for you?
I'm in a very high state. I'm in a bliss state. It's just very beautiful to give, and also I'm receiving at the same time. So it's just a beautiful exchange of energy.
Where does that sound come from?
I've been told that I'm like a fifth element. It comes from the stars and it balances the four elements of the earth. I'm one of many.
So are there particular times when you feel that the Hathors are with you more than others, or that the Elohim are with you more than other times? Or do you find that whenever you open your mouth to make these sounds, all of those energies are combining?
It's like all as one, yeah. I was told, because I'm an empty vessel, so sometimes I don't understand what I do, I just do it. But sometimes I like to know more. And one day I went for a reading from a person that didn't know me, and she said, "You bring the sounds from the eighth world." And I thought, well, what is the eighth world? I don't know the eighth world. So I asked the universe, show me what the eighth world means. I bring these, so show me. So in Stoner, I had a phone call, and it was a friend, and all I got was a be there at 4 o'clock, and I thought, okay, so I went there to this house, and they were having magic mushrooms, and I was completely in judgment in that moment. I thought, oh, I don't think so, but something made me thought, just let it go, allow it. There was only about three other people, all heart people, and I thought, okay. So we did sacred ceremony. I put the mushrooms in the cup of tea and waited. And what happened was everything turned into Shakti Shiva energy. The most amazing movie in front of me was showing me the eighth world, but I could only go in that moment for that reason and only for that time to the eighth world because I asked for it. So what you ask for, you receive. So I saw the eighth world, which is so magical. It's all creative, dancing, singing.
And tell me about the story. I know that the dolphins had something to do with all of this as well. Please tell the audience about that.
When I started on the journey, I got the message from the higher realms that I sing in the song lines. I never heard of the song lines. I didn't know what they were. And they said, now go to the most easterly point of Australia, which is Byron Bay, where the lighthouse is. So they said, go to the edge near the cliff and sing out into the ocean. So nothing to lose, why not? So I put on a nice white garment. Someone came with me, stood on the rocks at the near the lighthouse, started to sing, and in that moment the dolphins and whales came, and I thought, wow, that's a pretty good job. So that's what happens. Well, my voice represents a frequency from many levels. It cannot really be explained in words. It's through the emotions, because when people hear my voice and fall in love with my voice, they're falling in love with themselves, because it carries the truth.
Oh, that's a really beautiful way of putting it. So tell me about what happened after these initial experiences that made it very clear to you that you were on a particular path, that you were going to be working with sound very, very deeply. Was there a period or a time in your life where you went through some kind of formal training? You say that you received messages. Most people would know that as channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever taught how to do that?
Yes, because the yurt that I was in, I was one of the first six ascension healers on the planet. I didn't even know what ascension was. It wasn't meaning that you were any better than anyone. Everyone on this planet has a sacred agreement. I turned up in a school that was an ascension school and worked with the ascended realms, and it was just thrown at me very quick. So I moved through, but obviously that was a sacred agreement on my soul's journey.
Who are the other initial ascension teachers for the planet? Could you name some of those people that you knew, if you knew them?
Koala, Kalina Rose, Liliana Corriador, who works with the waters, Joshua Stone, who just left the planet just lately. I'm an empty cup, so I might, for instance, with Joshua Stone, I saw a piece of paper with his writing on it. Someone had it, and I went straight to it, and I wrote to him, and he said, fasten your spiritual seatbelt, you're going to go a million times fold. So I've always had these people in my life that would just show up. It's just synchronicity and allowing yourself to go that one step further.
How important do you think it is to get proper training, so to speak?
I believe your heart is your training and following your emotions and your intuition, especially at this time. People can teach you this and that. It's like there's a car and it goes. You can learn about how that car works, or you can just fly in the car. And it's your choice. And everyone has a different path.
There's a word that gets bandied around quite a lot these days. It's the word light worker.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that word, and how does that relate to what you do, and do you see yourself as a light worker?
We work with the light, but I prefer to say light play now. We're a light player, because everything's to be playful now. For anyone who hasn't recognized, since January, we're in the new reality. The old world's gone. We're in the new one with a blank slate. So we're playing with the light in everything. So the new age and the workings, if that gels with you, then go for it. But personally, I'd rather play. And that's dancing and going around the world and just being, because at this present time, it's our presence, because we emanate light. And when we're in our joy, our presence becomes much more, and it affects a radius of a 30-kilometer radius.
Each one of us affects 30 kilometers?
Every single one of us. So the more you're living your joy, so if you think you have to do something for the benefit of humanity, you are depriving yourself and you're not in your joy. If you're in your joy, instead of affecting one person, you're affecting hundreds and hundreds, because your emanation of light is everywhere.
And so if you call yourself a light player, what then is your mission?
To sing, to dance, to perform, to bring in the galactic opera, to just have fun. I've done the hard, been through many challenges. I'm ready to play.
Well, Carolyn, that is a beautiful segue into introducing you to the interview and asking you about some of the thoughts that you have about the work that you and Ananara will be doing together with the play shops that you're bringing to the world in the form of the Land of One. As I mentioned in the introduction, you work primarily with dance, but before you got here, you've come from a very, very different background to Ananara. You came from the corporate world. Would you tell the audience a little bit about your journey to this point in your life?
Absolutely. I think when I was young, a younger child, I knew of other realms of existence and of the magic that's there with us. And it was just at that time, though, I didn't have an understanding. So it was like frightened me a little bit, because I was only so young and there wasn't the support that's readily available these days. And so I kind of buried that for a while, and through my upbringing went into more of a structured environment and went into the corporate world, which I was in for 25 years. And during that time, there was such a deep heart yearning for more to life, you know, through circumstances also that came up for me that pushed me to search and yearn for the truth of who I am. And so I dabbled into different modalities, healing modalities and astrology, and but still within my heart I knew that there was just more joy and love that could come through each one of us, and how do we bring that through? And through meeting Ananara, which is just such a beautiful, amazing, divine being, as she said earlier, shows us the truth. And she showed me the truth of who I am. So now in the play shops, we're bringing through dance and song, and just for people to tap into their own creative expression and the truth of who they are. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Breaking through any limitations that we may have, and shining our lights, really.
Now, there are lots of ways that people work on different exercises in workshops to do that, to bring out your creative expression. What are some of the ways that you two will be doing that in your workshops?
We'll be working with Avalon energy. Going back to Avalon, it's like we're all in the mists are parting, and there actually is an Avalon, but Avalon is within our hearts, but there is an actual place that is calling also, but that is another story. but it's in the heart, it's the goddess energy. It's discovering who you are, living in a joyous state of grace, being open to new possibilities in your life, honoring your own self and going, yeah, maybe I can do this, giving yourself a new self-expression, a new self-belief. And so that's what happens. So we basically turn up with no plan other than to create and bring magic. And through voice, through playing, and through dance, that's what happens. And everybody is a part of it. We're just the facilitators, every single person.
And they realize, people realizing their potential and what they have to give to humanity, that we all have that gift within us.
And in that also, as the group brings their own gifts in that moment, there's like a huge energy portal that opens and everyone there releases, receives. It's like a giving and receiving.
I'd love to hear about some of the experiences that you've had watching what's occurred to these groups or to these individuals when you've been working with them, because, you know, you're shifting all kinds of energies inside people's bodies with the use of the sound, with movement. What are some of the effects that you've been able to see?
People go on to change their lives. They just change in their whole life. They change around. I have a friend that was very successful in North Shore with a beautiful husband and gorgeous children, and she was working with Malcolm Fraser before, and now she had one healing, and now she lives in the Flinders Ranges, left the whole family, and now lives the Aboriginals, and now is starting a new township there.
Have you worked with children at all?
No, that's a new venture because the children are so special at this present time.
Well, let's talk about them because they are so special. Mm. Indigo Evolution just came out in January, which was the Twyman documentary, all about the indigo and crystal children. What do you think about kids and where do you think they're coming from? they're coming from somewhere pretty special, aren't they?
Absolutely. My son, he's 10. And from a very early age, he's talked to me about reincarnation and about the truth and the oneness that there is, and how at that level the truth hadn't been brought through to the planet as we know it, because we can't get it in our... He says, Mummy, you can't get it in your mind. People think they can get it from their mind, but it only comes through your heart. And so he is my greatest teacher.
Sounds like it.
From a very early age. And even when he was 2, he wanted to know about the physical body. He wanted to understand what that was all about. amazing.
One of the reasons why you're sitting here today, Carolyn, is because of the work that you did initially with Ananara, just as a client in one of her play shops. And I know that you were touched quite deeply by her voice, and she did some pretty magical things with her voice with you. Could you tell us a bit about how, you know, Ananara came into your life and how she changed your perceptions of...
That was a magical experience in itself. That was going back about 4 or 5 years. I met Ananara at Byron Bay and at a retreat that I decided to go to, and I knew at that time that it was... So the very reason I was there was to meet Ananara, for no other reason. And Ananara had chosen me out of a crowd of people and said, in her usual style, I'll do a healing on you. And sang with this voice that was beyond this realm. It's just, you can't even explain it. You can't put words to it because there are no words. And brought me to tears, and I experienced a heart opening like I'd never felt before in this lifetime. And that was an absolute gift, and from that moment my life changed dramatically. It's like I got put in fast forward and off I took, And, so she's a really very beautiful, special person, a special being.
It must be great for you to know that you're going travelling around the world with her now and the two of you are going to be facilitating workshops.
But I represent everything, things that everybody has. I've just allowed myself to play with it and open. I had nothing to lose. And so I just get out of the road. The personality gets out of the road and magic comes in.
Let's talk about S and the New World Energy. This is a really important subject, and it's something that everyone really ought to have some idea about, because we've been through a very long cycle of having a patriarchal society and being dominated by the male energy, and it seems that in order for us to really achieve a point of balance, we need to reintegrate the goddess energy once again, whether we're male or female, because it's through that expression and through that understanding that we'll be able to, I don't know, open up some of our intuitive faculties again, switch on some of these inner spiritual technologies that we have, like the power to heal, the power to use our psychic abilities to remote view, to send remote healing to other places. And that's, for me, very much goddess energy. So would you elucidate on that a little bit more?
It's the feminine qualities coming through. It's the nurturing, it's the intuition of trusting and knowing, and knowing deep within that it's time. We've all been here many times, thousands upon thousands of years, and through that we've done it hard. And the feminine ray has always stood in front and been thrown back. And now it's a returning of a balancing that must happen. And so it's the goddess allowing the receivership unto herself, and that's the most important thing at this time, because of all the giving that she has done in the past has become tired. And I was looking and feeling about this, and when you walk the streets, you look at how everyone is so tired. The goddess has been very tired, and that is why all the playing, all the fun is to come back. So she's coming back in a wave that is being overlighted by an energy called the Divine Mother Ray. It's the Avalon energies, it's the Isis energies, and the Magdalene energies. It's no coincidence that the big movie energy and all of the entertainment is bringing out the Da Vinci Codes, all of that, because there is a divine plan taking place. And if you're open to it and your perception is that you are ready to hear the truth of who you are and allow the goddess into your life, then your perception will change your life. And it is totally up to each individual. And at this time, because of the world and the structure and everyone so in their head, there's many people leaving the planet, there's many everything that's happening at this present time. It's just overwhelming from the brain. And now it's the marriage of the heart, and the heart is bringing a balancing, and that's the goddess.
VBS Radio.com.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to Otherware, and we're talking with angelic sound and light facilitators Anna Narizalta and Carolyn Bentley.
Let's talk about the goddess and the new world energy. This is a really important subject, and it's something that everyone really ought to have some idea about, because we've been through a very long cycle of having a patriarchal society and being dominated by the male energy. And it seems that in order for us to really achieve a point of balance, we need to reintegrate the goddess energy once again, whether we're male or female, because it's through that expression and through that understanding that we'll be able to, I don't know, open up some of our intuitive faculties again, switch on some of these inner spiritual technologies that we have, like the power to heal, the power to use our psychic abilities to remote view, to send remote healing to other places. And that's, for me, very much goddess energy. So would you elucidate on that a little bit more?
It's the feminine qualities coming through. It's the nurturing, it's the intuition of trusting and knowing deep within that it's time. We've all been here many times, thousands upon thousands of years, and through that we've done it hard. And the feminine ray has always stood in front and been thrown back. And now it's a returning of a balancing that must happen. And so it's the goddess allowing the receivership unto herself, and that's the most important thing at this time, because of all the giving that she has done in the past has become tired. And I was looking and feeling about this, and when you walk the streets, you look at how everyone is so tired. The goddess has been very tired, and that is why all the playing, all the fun is to come back. So she's coming back in a wave that is being overlighted by an energy called the Divine Mother Ray. It's the Avalon energies, it's the Isis energies, and the Magdalen energies. It's no coincidence that the big movie energy and all of the entertainment is bringing out the Da Vinci Codes, all of that, because there is a divine plan taking place. And if you're open to it and your perception is that you are ready to hear the truth of who you are and allow the goddess into your life, then your perception will change your life. And it is totally up to each individual. And at this, because of the world and the structure and everyone so in their head, there's many people leaving the planet, there's many, everything that's happening at this present time. It's just overwhelming from the brain. And now it's the marriage of the heart, and the heart is bringing a balancing, and that's the goddess.
Could you tell us about any experiences that either of you have had where you've been in direct communication with that energy, where you've felt it integrating into who you are, and it's given you a new perspective on life?
Well, Liz, I feel through dance that we can really tap into the goddess energy, as it's just a beautiful feeling that it's so much love for self and belief in self also, and to know the power also of the goddess, which returns to us when we honour that and honour ourselves. And it's through those simple acts we can do for ourselves and on day-to-day basis, as far as pampering, you know, having your nails done, a facial, something easy as that, that can be really honouring the goddess within. So I think that's very important.
So what if you're living in a male body? Any suggestions for the men out there?
Absolutely. I think too, also for men, there's no reason that they can't pamper themselves, massages and, you know, baths and doing things that they love too that make them feel good. That, I think, is a real key. And dance too. Why can't men get out?
Tell me about some of the experiences that you had in Bali, Carolyn.
Oh, that was beautiful. In Bali, it was very much seeing how the family unit is so close and how it's so valued in society. And you look at the Balinese people and they may not have a lot as far as financial and wealth on that level, but my goodness, you know, there's so much wealth within them through the love they have for one another and the respect. And the children participate in all the ceremonies, which is beautiful. And it doesn't matter if they're talking or singing or making a noise, it's just accepted because that's who they are. And it's lovely.
Whenever I think about Bali, I definitely have images of those beautiful Balinese dancers and their very long metallic fingers. And the way that they move is just so gentle and so beautiful.
And they honour the goddess in Bali. They have ceremonies specifically for the women, goddess ceremonies. And the women wear, I participated in one of the ceremonies and we wore all gold sarongs and kabayas. And that was lovely. It was a real honouring process and it was beautiful.
There's been a little bit of chatter on the internet with some channeled messages and certain individuals who've been visiting Bali on pilgrimages of activations where they're actually going to certain spots where they believe portals are opening. If we could talk about what planetary light centres you perceive are emerging right now.
Yes.
I'd love to know which ones you think they are.
Okay, Hawaii,
yes.
New Zealand, Australia. Austria is one because there's a new Joshua Stone changed from Mount Shasta and they're now in Vienna. So there's a...
Did they move their head office?
They've moved the head office. So there's a lot of change, and also because Europe, that is very beautiful, but also carries very old energies, is stuck in the density. So there's a lot of light people or people working with the light that are going into Europe and lightening it up.
Do you have any feelings about Africa and that continent?
Africa is connected to the Palladian energy, connected to the Seven Sisters, and yes, there is a drumming, a calling in that area. It's it's like a sacred spiral energy, all the sisters coming together, but that doesn't mean it's not the males, it's the sister energy. And so it's like a drumming, a beating of the heart. So yes, definitely Africa. It's like all around, yeah. Russia, also Russia's had a time, but it is all coming together. It's beautiful, beautiful light workers in Russia.
I think there's actually an entrance to Agata
from Mount Shasta.
Do you know anything about that?
I know there are portholes to other dimensions that would include this, and there is one at the North and South Pole, and definitely Mount Shasta also, that has a very beautiful experience. And Caroline had a very beautiful...
I did at Mount Shasta. That was amazing. My husband Scott and my son Jordan and I were in America a couple of years back, and we were in Colorado at the time, and I got a very, very strong message to go to Mount Shasta, and we were flying out in a couple of days out of LA, so it's a bit of a drive. So I said, we have to go, couldn't explain why, so we drove off. It took us quite a while, but we drove day and night, got to Mount Shasta, and when we arrived, I went and bought a picture of the Masters, and one was Saint Germain, and we went and had a coffee, and we're just sitting in a little coffee shop, and this man walks down the street, and he's dressed in beautiful long black pants and a long purple cloak, immaculate, and he just was amazing. And he walked into the coffee shop, and there was other people there, but he looked at my son, husband and I, just looked at us, smiled and walked out. And I thought, am I the only one seeing this? I didn't say anything because I thought I may have just seen him and no one else did. Anyway, then we went to a crystal shop, Middle Earth Crystal Shop at Mount Shasta, and I walked in the door and almost passed out. It was like I stepped into another realm, and I felt really faint, and this beautiful woman walked up to me, dressed long blonde hair, dressed all in white, took me by the hand, didn't speak, just took me by the hand to another room. And Scott and Jordan hadn't arrived at this point. And when I went and sat down in the room, she gave me some crystals and she said, hold these, and knew all about my life. She was like an angel, just knew so much about me. Anyway, my husband and son arrived, and we spent 7 to 8 hours in that shop. It was like the time just went in a second. And when we left, she had been speaking to us about what was to be and about our lives, and no need to study, no need to do all these workshops. It was all within you. Just allow it to come through. It's a journey of remembering. That's what it's all about. And so we left and we went to a park, just up the road, and then we came back and we stopped. There was only one car park left in the street, main street, and we stopped and we got out the car because we were going to have some dinner. And behind us was this woman I met getting into the car with that man that I saw that morning. And I went, oh my gosh. And I said, oh, fancy seeing you. And she said, yes, I'd like you to meet my friend Germaine. And I said, he looks like Saint Germaine, you know, whispered. And she said, yes, it is. So matter of fact, yes, it is. And he held my hand and Scott's and Jordan's, and we stayed with them for just a little while. And it was like I was in another dimension completely. It's like, did this, what's happening? And when we sat down, I said to my husband, look at this photo, look at the photo, it's him, you know. And he said, wow, he said, I knew when we saw him in the morning he had a presence. He said, yeah, that was just amazing, amazing experience. I remember I said to that beautiful being, the woman, I said to her, how did you come to be here? Because I said, how did you come to be here? And she said, Archangel Michael and Saint Germain brought me.
Did like, she tell you where from?
No, but it's not necessary. I think a lot of the times we try to analyse things and get into the mental plane about it. It's an experience and it's magical. You take it for that. You feel it in your heart. You know the truth because you absolutely feel it to the core of your being. And I believe there's a lot of magic in the world now. And if we just open ourselves to that, it's there for us.
So all of these places that are what we're calling emerging light centres will probably be playing pivotal roles in the new world, quote unquote. Would you tell us a little bit about what your perceptions of the new world are and how we're actually going to make this transition from one world to the other world? You said earlier that the door is now shut and we're actually in it. But are we? Are we really in it? I think it's a really confusing time for a lot of people, and so that's really what I'm trying to get at. How do you negotiate your way through these times and not feel as though you're pushing an uphill battle, you know? Or how do you help harness the new world energies in a more productive way so that you can actually fully move into the new world energy?
You let go and you surrender. You try not to work it out, because where you are in the new world has no words. It's a feeling, it's a knowing, it's your intuition, it's the goddess. It's your thoughts, because your thoughts are creating your reality every moment. What you think is what you are. And when you learn that and when you take responsibility to allow yourself to be amazing and magnificent in the truth of who you are, because that's what you are, you can be anyone and do anything in life, as long as you believe in self and trust it. And the energies that are coming down are helping. But also, in saying this, the ego is trying to hold on. So it is creating stories, and it is a very challenging time for all of us.
It's pretty hard not to see the correlation between this time and the ending of the Mayan calendar. You hear from some quarters that the reason why the calendar ends in 2012 and why they haven't given us any clue about what's to come, and that it's not the end of time as such, it's actually the end of this cycle. We're moving into a new time, a new world, and that, as you said, the slate is blank, just as the Mayans left it for us, blank. Why? So we could write the story, so we could write the next chapter. Do you think that there will be, at the ending of the Mayan calendar in 2012, any real perceivable jump that we're going to make, that we're all going to look around one day and say, wow, we really are in a new world, this is a new time, this is a completely different place than the place that we were 10 years ago?
In the new world, there's no time, and everything's being sped up. So 2012 is actually here now. And so everything moves and moves and moves. So what was a while back in the Piscean age has moved much faster. So it's just a speeding up process, and we're actually here. So 2012 is here, right here, right now. And It's just dreaming a dream and going for it and never backing down and seeing success, and that's what we're doing. Yes, we have challenges, yes, but you just get right up and just keep going, because there is amazing magic and miracles that are happening on a daily basis if your perception is to allow and to feel good about yourself.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I thought it was really important to have you on the show, because you're living examples of what it is to surrender and to incorporate that goddess energy and just trust that you're going to be guided to wherever it is that you need to be. Can you tell us some stories from your lives up to now where you've actually had experiences just unfold in a really magical and miraculous way because you've been able to do that?
One is in Byron. I went to watch this lady sing in the community hall. I met a lady in the toilet. A lot of things happen in the restroom, in the toilet. She said, "Oh, you've got beautiful eyes. Do you want to come to a meditation?" I said, "Why not?" Because I'm used to going with the flow. So I turn up this meditation. I'm not a meditator because it just doesn't gel with me, but I go. And from that, in this beautiful house in Mullumbimby, this American person comes over and I do what I do and I sang. And he said, "You've got to come to America. I'm leaving in 3 weeks." Now, I didn't have any money. I didn't know this person, never been to America, never saw it, but I had a valid passport. But I decided in that moment, now I could have said no, and I had thoughts, or how, but I let it go and I said, no, if it's good for me and it, my perception is, okay, let's go for it. In that moment, my phone rang. My sister rang up and said, "I've just sold my house, do you want a world ticket?" So from 3 weeks, I'm in America. I had $1,700 Australian. And a dream and one address in Sedona. But I had nothing to lose, and I've known, just go for it. From there, oh, and before that, I'd been in the poverty consciousness in Byron Bay in Australia. Lots of spiritual people, but they get into that
poverty consciousness.
Yeah, and I got down to a tent, okay, a tent. I was a martyr, but I had the TV in the tent, okay? But, so I thought, no, I used to always mind million. I have friends that are millionaires, and they just happen to be successful in life, and they always have pets that I mind. And so I went around, instead of them and me, the houses in the North Shore of Sydney and everything, I went nowhere as one. So by the time I got to America with the one address, the 1,700, there were millionaires all in my life. From there, I was taken to a top recording person who recorded a CD for me. I did it in 2 days. And it changes people's lives. Because in America, it was so open. You could achieve, like, at the end of that whole story, there was a millionaire's house in Santa Monica, and it was full of actresses, and they put the party on for me. And I said, "Come on, guys, just come and see what you can do." So it was like total embracement. And just magical things happened, and all these people. And at the end of the journey, I stayed there illegal in America because they said stay, so I trusted. And when I went over the border, there was angels that came in and let me through.
You can't just say there were angels that came in and let you through. You have to explain that a little bit more deeply.
Oh, okay. So where we work, where we play in the light energy, they say there is no borders. I've never had experience. So I did go into a little bit of fear crossing through America because they're beautiful people. But And we were going to Canada. So I had to go through. And the guy said, "I have to go through immigration." And there was 3 officers. And I went, "I really need your help," because I always say God's in my pocket. I said, "I really need your help now, God." So as I went through, those 3 officers had smiles on their faces, beautiful, just stamped my passport and away I went. Because it was like 3 angels came in. When I was in Laguna Beach, for anyone that knows Doreen Virtue, I was singing to one of her friends in Laguna Beach, and this person was standing outside a shop called the Chakra Shack. And this person was about 7 feet tall. blonde angelic being, but totally dressed in rags. And he was listening to me sing. And we all looked up and we knew it was an angel here on the earth. And we went up to him and we offered him some strawberries and he only took one and he disappeared. And he was Archangel Gabriel. Now that really happened in physical because I had the perception and the belief that there was. So it matched my belief.
Yes, that's one of the hallmarks of the New World Energy. Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Miracles. Creating abundance. Unconditional love. These are all of the states of being and creative expression that we're moving towards. Is there anything else that I've missed?
Dream your dream, go for it. Don't back down. See success. Live the life that you were meant to be. Do you think you've come this far and that's it? No. You're just opening the door.
This is Otherwhere on bbsradio.com with myself, Liz Miller, and we're talking with angelic sound and light facilitators Anna Narizalta and Carolyn Bentley. Hope you're enjoying the show. So can you give us some kind of projection into the next, say, 3 or 4 years and what you think may or may not occur on our planet? It'll be your perception. So it's really each one of us has the responsibility to create the world that we want to live in.
It's like I'm seeing a mental picture to sort of explain. It's like being in a high-rise building and someone on the fifth floor won't have the same experience as the person on the sixth floor and the seventh floor. And so you choose which floor you are ready to go onto. And, and meeting these illuminated beings is just like a doorway. It just opens for that moment. They're always there, but your vibration is ready to meet them, and when you're ready, you will see them.
Well, that leads me into having to ask you all about the angels, because you work with the angelic realms. And, you know, coming face to face with an angel is something that most of us would say, oh no, I've never been face to face with an angel. But I think we probably do come face to face with angels a lot more than we think we do.
Definitely.
What are some of the ways that you've had contact with the angelic realms? And what are some of the most common ways do you think that angels communicate with us humans?
Well, I think the whole of my American experience were all angels. The first person I met just happened to go into the house that I was staying at, and her name was Angel B. And she took me to Los Angeles, and I stayed in her beautiful home on the water, and she paid for my CD. So she was an angel. So angels are here, and the person who turned up on the second day, because I said, hey guys, I call them the guys upstairs, I said I would need someone to be in the back of the CD, you know, here I'm this recording. But next time I turned up, here's the keyboardist, hi, you want to be on it? So he just went out of, and we made this record together, the CD. And so he was another angel. So all of these angels just turn up, and they're already here. We're here. We are an angel. That's who we are. We are angels. We just have to see ourselves and open.
So would you tell us, would you go into that a little bit more deeply and explain what you mean by that, that we are all angels? Because most people would say, oh, aren't the angels the messengers from God, and aren't they up a little higher than us in the hierarchy, or aren't they completely non-physical beings? I mean, people have a lot of different ideas about
angels. Yeah, there's many perceptions. There are brothers and sisters. They work and play alongside of us. You always know when you have a troublesome story in your life. You always go to the depths, but you always get pulled out. Who do you think's pulling you out? It's your brother and sister. You mightn't be able to see them on a physical, but they're there with you. They see you as higher from coming onto this earth in having these experiences that have not been many times pleasant, but we're all together in this, brothers and sisters, on different realms. The ones you see as wings don't necessarily have wings, but our perception is that they do. So they turn up with what we believe. And so, again, it's all about believing and perception. When you believe, you see.
And when you're doing a healing, for example, or you're working with a client or a group, how are you communicating with the angelic realms in that situation?
I just get out of the road and it automatically just comes through me. So I'm a blank slate. I am very good at just leaving and it just happens. And for instance, I really wish to be a translator. I would love to live in Brussels and learn German, Italian. I was hopeless in learning the languages. They would not stay there. Yet in my healings, if an Italian person comes, I speak fluent Italian, Russian, so this is what I mean. So it just comes through. So how do you explain that? I don't know.
And how do you learn how to do that? Can you give the people out there who might be really wanting to try this themselves, or who maybe are already having, you know, some limited types of contacts, but they want to enhance that connection more deeply, have you got any tips? Anything to do with your diet, you know, on the physical level? Is there anything that you can do physically to be clearer?
I find that if I eat sensibly, balanced diet and exercise, when I do that, I actually do seem to heighten, my senses are more heightened so that I'm more aware.
Yeah. So it is important to watch what you put into your body.
It is, yeah. And I'm still learning. So I'm one of those ones that likes, and I used to work with an ascended master who knew me very well.
Which ascended master is
it? Maitreya, Lord Maitreya. As the higher aspect of Sananda, higher aspect of the Christ. So there's the Christ, Sananda, Maitreya. And he came into the body through the facilitator that I was working with, and I was like her secretary for a time. And he used to bring through all these writings. And when they come into the body, they love eating. And so he had these things of nuts. And he said, would you like some nuts? And I was so in awe of this being there. And I just said, no. And he said, you need it, so eat it. And he says, and you know those chocolate biscuits you stuff down your neck when you think no one's looking. Understand, everything on this planet is energy. Everything you eat is energy and your belief, and if you carry guilt, then you grow. So I'm still learning. It's been very hard for me to be in the body because I'm so out there.
One of the exercises that I know that you've done with former groups is that you've asked people to just open their mouths and go for it. Sing, make noises, make dolphin sounds, make baby sounds, and make sounds of the language of light. Now, you talked about it and you touched on that just a little bit earlier. It would be wonderful if you could go a little more deeply into the language of light and give us an example.
Okay. When I first met with the language of light and was introduced to it, I thought we had, because I was shown that to translate. As you go higher and accept all as one, you realize it doesn't matter what the translation is. The language of light is the energy of the divine within all of us. By speaking it, many people on this earth have a lot of trouble bringing it through, because there could be stories from past lives connected to this, whatever the reason. For me, it was easy. I could have something really hard in something else. So, but my passion is to open up the voices of everyone on the planet, if I was able to do that. And so the language of light is the essence of God, is the truth of God, and when you speak it, you are in pure truth.
Well, what I'd like to do now is ask each one of the audience members to open their heart to actually receive some of these beautiful sounds and for you to have the experience yourself. So if you just start by taking a few easy breaths and feeling your whole body softening and moving into a wonderful state of peace and receptivity. So allow yourself to just relax and leave just enough awareness of the outside world for you to be able to hear these tremendous, profound and life-changing sounds. Would you please convey a message to the audience in the language of light?
Bohomba himahianda kies a ham be katiama. A handy kahanto shahaya makianto.
Each one at this time is being asked to honor the guidance within, to totally be at one with all. Everything is coming back to the heart of truth in all that exists. You, each of you, has a guiding light, and the flame is now flickering. Allow the flicker to become a huge passion, power that is so necessary at this time upon this earth. How you see everything within the darkness and the negativity? Are you not over it? Are you not ready to play? Are you not ready to allow yourself to be free from the restrictions, from all that has been? It is over. Allow yourself the possibility to entertain the idea that you are amazing, that you carry great gifts within, and you can change everything around you if you believe and you trust. Blessings. Bohunda.
Zolta and Carolyn Bentley, it's been an honor to have you in the studio with me today. Thank you so much for bringing your beautiful energy to our airwaves. Much luck and success on your journey across the globe with the Land of One. If people would like to get in touch with you and find out how they might want to join you, is there an email address that they can contact you on?
Yes, mine is Ananara, A-N-A-N-A-R-A, Zolta, Z-O-L-T-A, all one word, at hotmail.com.
And mine is Heart of the Goddess, one word, at msn.com.
Thank you so much.
You're
blessings
welcome.
To
Thank
you both.
Thank you.
tuned in. You're listening to Radio Otherwhere on bbsradio.com. And we spoke with Fred Birks earlier in the show. I'd like to bring him back now because each week at the end of the show, regular listeners will know that we do a beautiful relaxation meditation exercise that helps you all unwind from the week out there and help clear some of those blocks or negative programs that you might be wanting to release and let go of. And of course, we're going to get to some of that really deep-seated stress that might be holding you back from just experiencing life in a fuller, more positive way. So, Fred, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Liz. Great to be back.
Great to have you back, and I'm so excited that you're going to be joining me tonight or today, depending on where you are in the world, in our relaxation session, because, of course, the web of love was given to us through your inspiration. And I'm so grateful that we can use that as our starting point every week to help us connect with each other as radio hosts and listeners, but just as people, of course. And we use the exercise starting with us as a group, but then we extend that energy that we're creating as a unified whole to the rest of the world and really to all life everywhere. Thank you. It is such a beautiful part of our week, and it's just going to be great that you're going to be leading us tonight in the web of love.
Well, thank you, Liz, and I have to say it's thrilling to me because I was inspired by just all of my friends, my community in this world, and these exercises just came up, and I fed it out to people, and they gave me feedback, and so I'm thrilled that people are finding this as a meaningful way to connect more deeply with themselves and everyone around them.
When I first heard about the Web of Love exercise and did it, I was reminded that a long time ago I'd heard about an old Vedantic meditation, or an ancient Vedantic meditation, that's called or focuses around a place that's non-physical called the space within the heart, or the secret chamber within the heart. And John Vallot Melchizedek was actually leading a meditation once that I happened to be participating in, where he took us into that secret chamber. And of course, as soon as I did the Web of Love, I found myself back in that chamber, and I actually thought that perhaps you'd gotten the inspiration from those ancient meditation exercises as well. But it's amazing to hear that it was really just something that you picked up on naturally. I mean, the information's all out there, or in here.
Well, you know, I'd love to hear more about the meditation that John Vallot led, so maybe you can send that to me sometime.
I will. But basically, the space within the heart, just to explain to people, is, as I said earlier, a non-physical space, but it's the space of consciousness itself. And he describes this place as a part of us that has existed long before the universe even came into existence. And it connects us to all life everywhere, not just to all life here on this planet, but everywhere else out into the universe, and maybe even multiverse. And the Vedantic meditators say, contains everything. The entire universe is there, all time and space, and all creation. Past, present, and future are there, all our memories, the memories of all things, and all that we could become rest in perfect harmony within it. The fulfillment of all wishes is there. Our world and all creatures dwell in that inner space, woven into a lotus, from the infinitesimal to the infinite. The key to the fulfillment of all wishes is not to pursue them externally, but to look for their essence in that space within. That inner space is full of light, like 1,000 rising suns, and it contains the inner sun of pure consciousness, of which the outer sun is but a reflection. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
So, if all life is actually dwelling within this secret chamber of the heart, I'd love us all to keep that as our focus as we work through the web of love today.
I might just mention that you know, there is the Web of Love website, theweboflove.org. There's also the Moment of Love website, which is momentoflove.org. And it starts out talking about how every person in the world has a place in their heart that just wants to love and be loved. And I think it's that same place that knows that we're already connected and just has a yearning to feel that connection with all around us.
That's very true, and it's a wonderful exercise to just remember that, you know, that everyone does have a heart, because sometimes we can get into a space where we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to be able to bring in a practice that we do on a regular basis, reminding us all that we are connected and that it's not just a metaphor, it's absolutely true.
Yeah, and then whenever we choose to let go of our personality and ego, even when we're engaged in a difficult encounter with someone, if we choose, we can let that go and drop down into that place in ourselves and then recognize it in the other person, and it can shift the whole energy.
Before we go Web of Love for another week, Fred, would you mind sharing with the audience a story or an example of how you've used the Web of Love in your life?
Sure. Well, I can tell you I'm involved with a wonderful community where there's a commitment in the whole community to find ways to support and love each other more all the time. And we've done some amazing exercises there where we've had 60 people in one room opening up. One of the really special exercises we had is we asked for who right now is feeling a wound inside of themselves that's wanting some healing. And we had about 7 or 8 people step forward to the center. And each of them then became the wounded while the rest of us became the healers. And we consciously chose those roles for this exercise. The wounded share their stories very briefly and touched everyone with their stories. And then we, the healers, we allowed them to just be in that wounded space. And we, the healers on the outside, actually walked slowly around them while toning and opens, and then toned our love from our hearts into their hearts, knowing that they are representing a part of us, that we are all the wounded, and that also we are all the healers. And so by sort of getting a spinning love vortex going around them, we channeled the energy in and slowly moved in and touched them and held them, and it was just the most amazing shift. And we opened up these deep channels where by the time we finished, we just all felt like we were just deeply connected with each other and with all beings. And just incredibly magic, empowering experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Fred. As always, you're an inspiring storyteller and living example of how one might use the web of love to connect more deeply with those people who are close to you in your life, as well as to people in your communities, and even to people who you don't even know. And I highly encourage everybody listening out there to begin to incorporate the web of love into your daily practice to strengthen your connection to yourself, to others, and to the world. So what I'd like to do now is get everybody comfortable and get them prepared for their entree into the web of love. And the first thing I'd like everybody in the audience to do is lie down, find somewhere comfortable where you won't be disturbed, where you can cover yourself with a blanket and stay warm. Make sure that the phone is unplugged, no one's going to come to the door, and that for the next 30 minutes, no one is going to disturb you and you can be completely at peace.
Before you start,
yes.
How about if we just take a minute to connect with ourselves and with our audience?
That sounds great.
Yeah, I just like to be centered and really grounded in our hearts, bodies, and spirits. And then open up to all the people that will be joining us whenever that happens. Just feeling their connection, feeling our connection with them. Yay, thank you.
Thank you. Once you're comfortable and you're either down on the floor or sitting in a straight back chair, make any last minute adjustments that you need to make so that you feel absolutely comfortable. Turn your feet out to the sides. Allow your arms to rest next to your body with the palms turned up. incline your chin in towards your chest, and then allow your tongue to drop down behind your lower teeth so that the jaw softens and gives in. And then feel your eyes very gently opening, and then feel your eyelids resting down over your eyes once again, so lightly, just like two pieces of silk. And notice how your eyes begin to grow heavy and sink down into their sockets, knowing that right now you don't need to use your eyes. Your body can be completely at peace. Your chattering mind can also begin to let go and become clear once again. So now just run through your body, making sure that you can stay in this position for the next few minutes absolutely comfortably. And then draw your awareness to your spine and your whole back, noticing every point of contact your back has with the floor or the chair. And rest back into that support, knowing that no matter how heavy you become, you can just give in and let go. Then begin to breathe, noticing your breath very gently moving in and out of your body, slowing you down. And with each out breath, feel as though you're able to let go and give in even more, breathing out any distractions, breathing out any limiting beliefs or feelings, breathing out any sadness, any physical aches or pains. With each out-breath, letting go more. And now take in a long, deep, cleansing breath, drawing it in from your feet all the way up to your crown, seeing the breath as light. And as you exhale, send that light into every cell of your body. Inhaling again, deep breath in. Feeling the life-giving energies within the breath, revitalizing every cell. And as you exhale, sigh the breath out, letting go of anything that no longer serves you. Third time, make this the deepest, longest breath. And as you release, feel your whole body giving in, melting, and softening. And simply observe for the next few moments. Notice how just by using your conscious awareness with your breath, you can create deep and profound changes within. And so now that the body has begun to soften and release, let's take our focus into the heart as I bring Fred back onto the line, as we work with the web of love once again. So whenever you're ready, Fred.
Okay, I can tell you I have a big smile on my face now.
Me too.
And I love being in those silent spaces where I feel like I can feel your presence, Liz, and feel the presence of all of the listeners, all of us here. And I want to invite everyone to open to the remembrance that our breath is the doorway into that sacred chamber in the heart. And by right now focusing on slow, deep, full breaths, we can begin to relax and melt and sink deeper into our own hearts. Really just light attention to the breath, breathing on the in-breath full, deep, filling the lungs all the way up, enjoying that full feeling, and on the exhale, breathing all the way out, letting the lungs completely empty. The joy of breath, inspiration. The core word of inspiration is inspire, spirit, breathing in spirit, which is love. And on the in-breath for the web of love, we say, your sacred love flows into me. So allowing that love to flow in on the in-breath. And on the out-breath, my sacred love flows out to you. Continuing with a slow, rich, full breath, feeling it all. On the in-breath, imagining whoever you'd like that you feel a lot of love, breathing in that love, your sacred love flows into me. And on the out breath, feeling your own heart, your own love, whatever is ready right now to flow out and be shared. My sacred love flows out to you.
Your sacred love flows into me. My sacred love flows out to you.
And as you're doing this, I invite you just to open to whoever is there, ready to share this love with you. You might have certain individuals come to mind as you're doing this breath. Might be a whole community, a whole planet. Whatever beings are there, ready to share this special connection with you, just feeling it. And let's just sit in silence for a couple minutes, focusing on slow, deep breaths, and doing love in, love out. Aware too that we have listeners here from all around this beautiful planet, that right now our hearts are open and flowing and connected with each other. Imagine an invisible beam of love connecting all of our hearts right now who are here listening, sharing in this. Imagine seeing the planet with those lines of love connecting all of us. Seeing those heart connections reach around the planet. And there you have it, a web of love interconnecting all of us on this planet. And our hearts open and reach out not only to all of us here listening, but reach out to all beings, knowing that each of us in our heart has a place that just wants to love and to be loved. let's take a moment in silence now just to feel that web of love that interconnects all of us in a beautiful web around this planet. Slow, deep, full breaths. Feel the presence of the planet Earth Gaia, smiling with us as we're doing this. It's like our breath, our love, is giving her a gentle, supportive massage. From Earth here to all those beings, to all the realms, all the dimensions. Let's welcome in your sacred love. Flows into me. And our sacred love flows out to you. Thank you for joining us in remembering who you are, and remembering who we are in the deepest depths of ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Fred. And so everybody, while you're in your heart space, remember that at the heart, there is only oneness. In that place where you experience oneness, once again, affirm the connection that you have to all life, pulsating everywhere in the universe. Feel yourself melting into the vibration within that secret space within your heart, the space that is our true home, in which we can let everything go and become completely free. Feel yourself melting even more into this gentle vibration. Think of this space like a great ocean, and all the universes are its waves. Allow yourself to open. Allow yourself to remain open to receiving any insights, even music
that may emanate from this place as you allow yourself to give in and let go more and more, melting and expanding, feeling lighter as you move into an expansive state of awareness, as you move into a state of supreme silence, the place of the I am that I am, in the quietness. Allow yourself to give in and let go more and more and more. And when you're ready, feel yourself beginning to return to the present. Become aware once again of the palms of your hands and move your fingers. Feel the soles of your feet. And allow the toes to begin to move once again. Feel your breath deepening, welcoming back the life force and prana that it carries into every cell of your body. And as you feel yourself returning to your body, to the present moment, bring back any thoughts, any insights, and especially any feelings from the relaxation, knowing that they will last much, much longer than the relaxation itself. And then gently begin to ease your head from side to side to wake up your neck, your spine. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back to us.
And remember that you can stop any time during the day when you're feeling frazzled or off-center. If you choose to, you can stop and move back into slow, deep breath, even just for a minute or two. Come back to this place.
So it's time for us both to sign off now. Thank you again for being here and sharing your time with us, Fred. We look forward to the next time that you come back and visit.
Thank you, Liz, and thanks to all the listeners for joining us in this wonderful, empowering, loving journey together.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.